This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Visit audibletrial.com/CSR to download your free audiobook. Again, that's audibletrial.com/CSR for a free audiobook.
And by The Country Squire. Visit thecountrysquireonline.com to discover custom pipes, handcrafted blends, and unparalleled customer service. TheCountrySquireOnline.com.
We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David. Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm pretty good. I was kind of grumpy earlier, but, you know, I'm kind of working my way out of it. My pipe is particularly helping me with this. I've got a brand new Lane Era Sheraton
that
was given to me for Christmas.
And, what?
Just a great little find. Yeah, it's probably a early 1960s pipe.
Wow. So,
yeah, pretty sweet, man. Smoking some Vowin 14 out of it, but nothing like a good pipe to pull you out of your funk.
Man, so, okay, you say it's a gift. Who gave that to you?
Yeah, so the owner of this shop actually gave this to me. Kim was just kind enough to, we had this in the shop, and she was like, you know what? That's going to be yours. So there it is.
That's good. Found a good home for it.
Yeah, man. I've kind of, I don't know, there's, after New Orleans, you know, our pipe show adventure that we had the pleasure of going to, I just really got more into, I picked up a couple of pipes down there, but that one Lane Era Sheraton that I got down there to match the one I already had, and I've picked up a few more since then. I don't know. I think I might just be one of those guys that goes around looking for them.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm okay with it.
The collecting mindset is, you know, obviously something that a lot of pipe enthusiasts can understand and appreciate.
Well, pipe people, we like knickknacks. Like we like to have things. We like to have all the things.
Right.
All the things.
Right.
I want them.
Well, no.
And I want them in order, and I want them on a spreadsheet.
Hunting for what's right is a good thing, especially this time of year. In fact, what we'll be talking about this episode is kind of some great Christmas blends and such. But before we do that, we got to mention a couple of things. First off, of course, we have got a bit of a contest going on.
We do.
That's right. So right now, if you are listening to this podcast, we really appreciate you for doing so. But we also want to let you know that we've got a YouTube channel. Actually, if you go to CountrySquireRadio.com and click on the YouTube link, you can subscribe to this channel. Now, once you do that, head over to Twitter and let us know, let everyone know that you've subscribed to the channel. That'll let us know that you have, in fact, done so, and put your name in the running to win 2 ounces of Country Squire tobacco.
Ow!
That's right. These are custom blends. Depending on which blend, I guess, you choose, they were made by...
Only found here. And made by me or either one of our founders years ago.
Right. So that's right. Like, I mean, for the most part, everything that is up behind us as we record this podcast is all created by you or one of the founders, with very rare exceptions.
That's right. That's
the rare exceptions typically going to be people who are actually shoppers or part of the community.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which is a lot of fun. We like that too.
Yeah, I like that.
The good thing is if you enter the contest, you know, and again, they have to subscribe to the YouTube page and then let us know. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. Let us know through Twitter specifically.
Let us know through Twitter. And you get 2 ounces of Country Squire tobacco shipped to you free of charge. And you can pick whatever 2 ounces you'd like. You know, so if you want to mix and match, that's great.
Well, you know, the beautiful thing is, you know, this time of year is so special. I mean, it's getting cold outside. For many of us, we have been anticipating this season for a very, very long time. Our inner child is rejoicing. And of course, I'm referring to the fact that Star Wars will be out in theater.
Obviously.
In just a few weeks,
just happens to be Christmas, but we're really talking about Star Wars.
Look, can we talk about Star Wars for just a second
here? No, it's okay. Let's take... This will be the first episode in forever that we've talked about Star Wars, I think our listeners will forgive us.
So here's something that I'm starting to realize more and more. So everywhere you go right now, you cannot be unaware of the fact that there's a new Star Wars movie, because the marketing for this thing and kind of the, what do you call it, when the licensing that kind of goes into the marketing campaign. I was walking this morning in the grocery store with my daughter, and we were going to get some tofu. And in order to get the tofu.
Hold on. What?
I know. Hey, now.
Wait, are you feeding it to your dog or what? Do you use the tofu to like prop up your the low end of your coffee table?
Let me be specific. I am a meat connoisseur. I enjoy a good steak, but I also kind of like tofu. I mean, tofu is not a bad thing.
keep going.
Use a pan. All right. Anyway, so we're walking through, and of course, in order to get the tofu, you have to go through the whole segment of like the organically grown rice chips and everything else. I found some brand of organic, like potato chips that, were, of course, were not made from potatoes. You understand?
I don't understand. Anyway, okay.
I know, you don't understand the entire aisle, though.
No, correct. Yeah, correct.
All right, but here's the weird thing. I'm walking by this. I see this, like, no-name brand with these organic, not potato chips with, like, a freaking Sith Lord on the side of it.
Yeah, could you imagine Darth Vader eating green? Like, this is a man who's, like, three-quarters machine, like, and he's like, I only have free-range beef. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you're a cyborg.
My tauntauns must be free range and wholly organic with no steroids.
Additives. Yeah. Or whatever. Right. Low carbon footprint. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's prolific, though. The marketing for it has been awesome. And, you know, I'm out of pop culture. I don't follow, unlike Bo, I don't watch straight ETV on, you know.
I do not do that.
On 24-hour loop.
That is inaccurate.
But, you know, yeah, I've been out of the loop, but you have noticed a lot of the Star Wars stuff, and I'm excited, man.
Yeah.
I really am.
It's going to be a fun time, and, you know, we've teased out before about this idea of doing, like, a Star Wars blend, you know, or like, specifically, when I say we, I don't mean you and me. I actually mean, like, you who's listening to this as well. You're included in this. The idea of, like, a community-driven Star Wars blend.
We could entertain that.
I've got to figure out the venue. Like, what's the avenue for it? Could we do, like, an event? I mean, I know that we do the show live, but
yeah.
What if we almost did, like, a big meetup type of, like, Google Hangout or something?
Or we just kind of have a round-robin, like, table.
Maybe.
About kind of how we do this.
I mean, or even like a chat room going or something like that.
I could just put Latakia in another jar and label it Death Star.
Could be.
You know,
I feel that I
think Dagobah's got to have like Parik in it.
Sure.
You know,
but I think it has to. I mean, I like the idea of like getting a lot of people involved in it. And, you know, I'm not a fan of design by committee by any stretch of the imagination. But at the same time, I know that there's a lot of people who've sent in a lot of ideas regarding, you know, kind of a Star Wars inspired blend. And so I just think it'd be really cool. I don't know. We'll continue to kind of think about that.
We'll massage
and
that.
The
great thing is we have three opportunities at this, right? I mean, aren't there three movies in the...
Dude, there are way more than three. You got the three movies that are coming out, which is what you're referring to.
Right, right.
They also have like all these side... There's going to be like a Han Solo movie. And there's one called... I think it's Rogue One, which is going to be based off of the crew, the team that found the Death Star plans.
When
that
is
got
Harrison Ford just going to be like, deuces, I'm out. Like, I'm going to go grab my nearest, you know, pipe and just load up on
something. I got to get this late in life money. That's what I got to do.
Apparently. Maybe he's trying to atone for something.
I need my kids. I spend it all. I have a gambling problem, John David.
Is that how Harrison Ford talks?
Have you not heard him lately?
I guess, I
don't
know.
That is exactly how Harrison Ford
talks.
Maybe
he's been smoking a pipe.
Maybe, I don't know. Wait, man, this aside from being the season of Star Wars, it is, of course, the season of Christmas. And
that's right.
One of the things that you like to do when you get ready for Christmas, of course, you're getting out your garland, you're getting out your lights, you're getting out whatever holiday apparel you have that you want to celebrate and deck the halls with. But of course, if you're tuning in to this podcast, chances are you're a pipe smoker.
You are a pipe smoker.
Chances
and
are.
You are probably interested in some Christmas holiday blend.
Yes, sir.
And there's a plethora of them out there. And we thought we'd just take this episode to kind of highlight a few. Because there are a lot out there. There are several to choose from. They're all very different. They're all very different, and they're not for everybody. Each different one, you know, you're like, oh, I'm just going to smoke all these. Like, well, you know, if you like English blends, you probably won't like any of them.
Well, all right. Now, you say there's a lot of them out there, but I mean, honestly, isn't there only one Christmas blend?
Okay. Let's be honest. We all love Christmas cheer. that's a thing. As a McClellan fanboy, which I've been pegged as recently, a McClellan fanboy.
Fair assessment.
I'd rather be a McClellan fanboy than an Apple fanboy or a... You know, any other kind. I mean, I don't know, but what better thing is there to be a fanboy of other than just exquisite pipe tobacco?
No. Look, I'm right there with you.
I don't know.
Great.
I mean, bring hashtag ketchup, hashtag vinegar, hashtag McClellan.
I hate to do this because I feel like this would insult McClellan, but if McClellan was
we're
the
fawning
Apple,
over them. I think it's okay.
Then who would be the Android? I don't know.
I don't know. I kind of.
With the understanding that I actually am full on team Android.
You would be more Android.
Absolutely.
But that'd be like, it'd kind of be making fun of the Android.
Oh, don't you dare.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
So anyway,
Christmas,
Christmas blends. You know, it's interesting. We've talked about McClellan's Christmas Cheer before on the show, and it's such a popular blend. We love it. And as you know, if you are a longtime listener, I like to buy the can of Christmas Cheer of that year. So this year I bought 2015. I put it back, and then I opened 2014. And the Christmas Cheer always has just a really distinct. Virginia, perhaps a little Perique, but almost always just a real distinct Virginia emphasis. And so it ages so well. It's a broken flake. They press the stuff. It's typically very oily, very fragrant, aromatic. And when you put it back for an additional year after you purchase the stuff, like it just gets that much better. So yeah, this year, you know, Christmas Cheer is the first tobacco we'll talk about. And like I mentioned, they go around. McClellan's really interesting how they do this. They're looking for small batch tobacco crops, and they put it back for a variety of years until they get ready to make a blend with this stuff. And they'll, you know, either fire cure it or, you know, flue cure it or however they do it. But then it becomes a blend down the road. And so because they look for small batch stuff and because the recipe changes every single year, they don't have to worry about it being consistent. And so what they get to do is they get to pick like the best of the best of the best of every year without having to worry about, you know, replicating it the following year.
That's so cool.
Which is just a great concept.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Anyway, it's interesting, like the 2014 Christmas Cheer, it was a lot more mellow, just a lot more, this is me speaking, but a lot more mellow, more subtle flavors.
So, and again, this is 2014 that you just recently smoked.
Yeah, that I just recently opened because I just bought 2015.
Right.
I did happen to have a bowl of 2015 because someone gave me a bowl the other day.
So I'm confused, though. I mean, think about it this way. You're a tobacconist.
Right.
You need to educate the folks on what it is they're buying. Have you not smoked this year's Christmas Cheer?
No, that's what I'm saying. I smoked one bowl that someone gave me.
Okay,
but like,
all right.
Yeah, I'm not.
So you actually have the comparative, because like, you know, you smoked 2014 in 2014 as well as now. And
that's
so when
right.
you recommend wait a year, that is by experience.
Yeah. No, I would say so.
That's good. Yeah.
And I really like 2015. I think, you know, I've just had one bowl of this. Like, I'm probably going to open another 10, just pop the top and go after it because it's just irresistible to me. I'm just a Virginia nut, and a McClellan nut. But it's one of those things where, you know, you can taste immediately the sharpness of it, the citrus flavor, the rich oils that are there. This particular vintage of this year, the 2015 Christmas Cheer, I think it's going to be something special.
Interesting.
I really do. They actually, according to McClellan, straight from the horse's mouth, this is a 2011 crop of Virginias picked when it was at the peak of its ripeness. And so you got to think these tobaccos have been sitting back for 4 years already. And then they make a pipe tobacco out of it, you know, after, you know, pressing and blending and aging and all this stuff. So it's just really, I don't know. I think this year is going to be a great vintage.
Now, you mentioned that it ages really well. Would you say that is specifically the Virginia in it that ages really well, or are many really kind of the whole concoction?
For me, Virginia's really, really non-aromatics in general age particularly well. But Virginia's do because that vinegar and the natural oils in there, just it having a little time on it just really tends to mellow it out. And then when you also combine that with the pressing process where, you know, you're mashing these leaves together, making the oils bleed into each other and the leaves bleed into each other. The marrying process, I think, helps Virginias probably more than any other tobacco. And Perique as well. It helps Perique extraordinarily because Perique is so wet, you know, as it bleeds into other tobaccos, it really just gives it a lot more balance, I think.
When you break into the 2015 bowl, can you save a little, put a little aside for me?
Do you want me to live tweet it?
Well, that would be awesome. But no, I actually, what I'd like to do is I'd like to join you in kind of the comparison year to year.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'd love to try it.
We'll do it.
But what else we got? I mean, of course, that's the Christmas blend that at this point everybody knows, but,
absolutely.
What else should I be stuffing my stocking with?
A couple other options that I think are worth looking at. And again, you know, Christmas blends are all over. There's several, you know, companies that have them and shops that have them as well. Next I'll mention Peterson Holiday Season. Peterson every year comes out with Holiday Season. It's going to be a little more, you know, generic as far as a tobacco. They're going to go with an aromatic, typically something that's more on the syrupy side. And so it's a good counterbalance to the Christmas cheer. Now, McClelland also has the Holiday Spirit, which is always an aromatic. But, you know, this is Peterson, so they're going to make an aromatic tobacco. It's got, you know, lots and lots of flavor, typically, you know, lots of casing. This year's was actually a berry flavor, and it and when you opened the tin and smelled it, it was just exquisite. I tell you, it reminded me a lot of our Blue Ribbon that we sell here at the Country Squire. Yeah, so Blue Ribbon at the Squire being a blackberry flavor, and it's one of those that, yeah, it just had a lot of natural, you know, fruit flavor to it that I thought was nice. It also was described as having cognac and obviously some Black Cavendish and Virginia and Burley. That I think would have some vanilla components to it as well. But
it's an interesting selection for the holidays.
Yeah, yeah. I think Peterson really does that pretty good. You know, for their tobaccos, they like to come out with you know, things that are going to have just a whole lot of ingredients in them. But you tend to get one thing overall. And I think in this year's it was more berry. Last year it was kind of a chocolate cocoa thing in their Christmas blend. So real good. Out of the tins, kind of dry, which is, you know, what Peterson is kind of known for in their tin tobaccos. And so a little dry, but, you know, with some moisture, typically, you know, I'll kind of let mine sit maybe with a pouch moistener in it for a little while and it'll soften up. It's funny because it's a heavily cased tobacco, but it's dry in the tin. And so, but it's like when you light it on fire, this stuff becomes this kind of a lava mixture. I don't know. It's interesting. So they can tend to burn a little hot, but if you're an aromatic smoker and you like Peterson tobaccos, I think it's definitely something worth checking out.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's nice, particularly if you like something that's berry flavored as well. Smoke it slowly.
Different every single year?
Yeah, different every year. Yeah. And they always have holiday season. This year is holiday season 2015. It's got kind of a muted gray color on the tin, just real, real handsome packaging. And it comes in a big tin. I think it's 100 grams.
All right.
Yep. Finally, we have Cornell & Deal Golden Days of Yore. Now, I like...
Oh, man, that's a good name.
I like what Cornell & Deal does, okay? They've done this for years. And they take every Christmas a classic Christmas carol or Christmas song.
Yeah, yeah.
And they name their tobacco after that.
Do they go through every single line of the song? Because golden days of yore, once more. What song? I'm trying to remember what song am I singing?
I don't even know. That's the thing. Like last year's was We Three Kings. And the years ago, the 2013...
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Sorry, it just hit me.
Is that it?
That's what it is.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. The year before that was We Won't Go Till We Get Some, which is from the figgy pudding thing.
Right, that's good.
Right?
I'm assuming there was a very figgy flavor.
Yeah, it was actually mostly raisins that year. They actually made a raisin-flavored tobacco.
Like,
amazing.
Legit?
I mean, they said it. The description was it accents the raisin flavor. And I'm like, I mean, more power to you.
That's great.
You know, and then the year before that, we had...
Not everybody has your palate, man. It's great that they spoke to the common man.
No, that's great. Yeah.
As a common man, I appreciate that.
No. I mean, it's if you want to open a jar and say they all smell like raisins, that's great.
No.
You know, but yeah, and the year before that was chestnuts roasting, which I thought was nice.
Oh, that's good.
You know, Cornell & Deal, one of my favorite tobacco companies, folks, really good friend of the show.
We love
the folks at Cornell
&
Deal.
And we've commented on their marketing just in the past and just kind of some ways they've gotten creative before.
Such
I love
a good
that.
Job.
That's so good.
Love our friends over there. But what they do is typically it's going to be either a non-aromatic or kind of a hybrid style blend. And so they'll have elements of, you know, these are folks that are really good at subtly topping tobacco flavors, you know, to not give you a real clean smoke that might have a little added sweetness to it. They're really, really good at that at Cornell & Deal. And so, you know, they might add a little vanilla or a little chocolate or something to it. Typically, Christmas spices kind of come into play. So they'll have some cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, some of these kind of things that come through. Ginger, you'll have some of that. But this year's is a red and yellow Virginia mixture with actually dark-fired Burley and some Cavendish. So I haven't tried this year's yet, but I'm really eager to. We had several tins of it here the other day, and I was going to get one myself. But someone wanted it very badly, and as the, you know, small business retailer that I am, I wanted to sell it to them. So,
yeah, oh yeah,
so
I did.
So I did, but I have smelled it. It smells delicious, and it's one of those that, you know, if it's coming from Cornell and Deal, you know, you can believe in it. But yeah, typically they're going to have, you know, mostly it's going to have the tone of a non-aromatic tobacco, but you will notice a topping on them. Or maybe kind of a hybrid blend. So it might feature like a very small amount of Latakia or some Oriental tobaccos or something like that. This year, it also features some rum, which I thought was nice. So anyway, worth checking out. And that kind of rounds out our Christmas blend.
Man.
Extraordinaire.
Some stocking stuffers right there.
Well, it's something to try out. You know, McClellan Christmas Cheer, the Peterson Holiday Season, and then Cornell and Deal Golden Days of Yore. And I think, you know, it'd be good to try them out and keep smoking the ones you like, stock up on them, maybe try to fill the cellar full, and the ones you don't like, put in your whatever jar.
Have yourself a very Squire Christmas.
Ba-da-ba.
You know, the last couple of years, we've been re-releasing our 10 Days of Christmas. I don't think we're going to do it this year.
Why would we do that?
No, I feel like at this point,
people have been so gracious to us. They're still listening, and we're going to do that. We're going to reward them by, like, destroying them.
It's always a very brief, like, it's up for like a week and then I take it down off the feed.
It's embarrassing.
I mean, it's embarrassing, and like, you know, I almost feel like there should be a prize if you get all the way through it, but I don't think we're gonna do that this. But then I was thinking, what if we did some sort of parody? What parody song could we do / would y'all allow me to do?
Chestnuts roasting on the open fire is, I think, one of the most ridiculous Christmas songs.
If I got Tiny Tim to record, if I came up here and got Tiny Tim to record something,
no,
even if it was just like, you know, God bless us, everyone.
Could you imagine him? He's from like Forest, Mississippi, dude. God bless us, everyone.
God bless us. I can't. That was not a Tim. That was a terrible Tim.
Yeah, it's actually Tim doesn't sound anything.
No, not in the slightest. I don't think either one of us could. Well, I tell you what, man, these are some great, great recommendations and for stocking your stuffing this year. And you know, people like recommendations.
Stocking your stuffing, yes.
Stuffing your stocking. Is that what I
stock your stuffing all the time? Yeah. I love stuffing.
Oh, look, that cornbread oyster dressing, you got to stock it up. That's for sure. Make sure it's around for next year. But I tell you what, man, people do love recommendations. And not only do they like tobacco recommendations, they like book recommendations as well.
Absolutely. Even audiobooks, bro.
Dude, and I tell you what, man, why don't you recommend a fine book for the folks at home right now?
Foundation by Isaac Asimov.
Oh.
Is that on our friends at Audible?
Well, I tell you what, if it's not, it should be.
If it's not, it should be.
The best way to find out is by going to audibletrial.com/CSR and getting yourself a free trial and, in fact, a free audiobook. Tell us a little bit about Foundation.
If you're a fan of science fiction, particularly classic science fiction, Isaac Asimov is one of those writers that will just come to your mind pretty automatically. He, of course, even has science fiction monthly thing that comes out with his name on it. Of course, he's been deceased for years, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's one of these things that where in this kind of periodical, a lot of young science fiction writers get their start just by writing short stories and, things like that, but some poetry. But, Asimov, of course, one of the greats in science fiction, wrote the Foundation series years and years and years ago. And, yeah, it's just a kind of an interesting, take on, you know, galactic expansion and falls of empires and moving through dark ages, but not
space dark ages.
Space dark ages.
That's
right,
cool.
Right. So don't think of like, you know, castles and Black Plague. Think of like, oh, we don't know how to fix our, you know, nuclear warp drive.
We need a hyperdrive.
We need it. Yeah, someone bring that old hyperdrive.
Steam engine hyperdrive.
Yeah. So anyway, really good. Just a fun read. And several books in a row, so you know, it's something you can look forward to. But yeah, if it's on Audible, and it should be, then we highly recommend you get it. It helps support Audible and helps you support the show.
Absolutely.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, pipe question of the week this week is brought to us by Lane BCA.
Ow!
Now, last week we mentioned BCA, and there was some question as to what the name stands for. However, there really is no question at all.
So the question has an answer.
Yes, Black Cavendish, of course, because if you're smoking Lane BCA, the first thing you should pick up on Zach Cavendish.
Black Cavendish.
That's right.
BCA is an excellent Black Cavendish. It's one of those that is so versatile. And like we mentioned before, you can smoke it by itself, and it works wonderfully as a blender. And so, Tri Lane BCA, it's something that if you're looking for a mellow sweetness, something that is easy on your tongue, kind to your mouth, and also nice to your companions. It is the tobacco for you.
Yeah, look, nice to your companions is a big deal. We were talking about it earlier tonight that at a cigar and pipe shop, you might as well just go ahead and sell some cologne just in case they don't pick up the Lane BCA.
It's not a bad idea.
Great stuff. We appreciate them for sponsoring this segment. And now to your pipe question this week, which comes to us. It's actually the second part of a question that was sent to us last week. We mentioned one from Parker Brunson. Mm-hmm. This week he asks, How do you recommend maintaining the cake level down to 1.5 millimeters? I just want to keep my pipe in tip-top shape for the long run so I can pass them down to my kids one day. Thank you both for all that you've done for pipe smokers across the world. The show is a big part of my week, and I have learned so much. God bless. Parker Brunson.
Yeah, what a great question, Parker, and thanks for chiming in. We're glad you've let us be a part of your life, as with everyone else. But building cake is kind of funny.
Sorry.
<It's> so lame. you have a variety of pipes, right? So like in the ideal situation, you've got, several pipes and you're constantly rotating them and constantly smoking this one and switching to that one and then revisiting one way down the road. The problem that most of us fall into is that we buy all these pipes and then we wind up picking two or three that we really, 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 really like. Mm-hmm. And so those tend to get a little cake on them that maybe the other ones don't. The main thing you can do to help build healthy cake in your pipe, smoke it, consistently to the bottom. But use a pipe cleaner after each bowl. And this is something, it's very common sense. A lot of people don't do it, but just turn your pipe cleaner into you, and just swab out the inside of your bowl. I think it's really easy, and tends to remove any loose debris that, that's just not desirable to be there. Let's say you build your cake over 1.5 millimeters. They always say that's kind of the ideal, thickness of cake. That's time over that, you probably want to carefully start reaming your pipe a little bit. To be honest with you, a lot of folks just use a check tool, the three-way pipe tool, that is kind of ubiquitous everywhere.
Check tool.
It's a check tool. It's named after, the Czech Republic, which it's made in.
Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. I literally thought it just meant to check something. I didn't know that there was a connection.
No, you could check something with your check tool.
Well, that makes sense.
But it's like, it's actually Czech. Right. If you read it, you'd say CZEC because that's what it looks like.
All right, right, right.
Right. That kind of check. But yeah, the spoon on your check tool does wonders. Some people will very, very gently use a pocket knife. Your safest bet is very gently going into your pipe cake with a reamer. And that's something you want to do when your pipe is very cool, hasn't been smoked in a while, and you want to just gently kind of go around. I think that's, all this is very obvious, answers to, a very good question, but it's something that, you'll want to sparingly do. I always lean towards the side of not reaming if you're unsure if you need to ream your pipe or not. Reaming is hard on a pipe. It really is. Good briar can take it, particularly if it's been, cared for well over the years. But, your best bet, in my opinion, as you're smoking your pipe, just continually clean it out after each smoke. And once you get to, your preferred cake level, occasionally give it a little ream. Maybe scrape a little bit out with the spoon on your check tool, or maybe very gently with a pocket knife, and kind of go from there. But that's what I do.
Reaming too often, almost like taking one step forward, two steps back.
It is. I kind of cringe a little bit when people pull out reamers, or they'll bring in like a pipe that they bought 3 months ago, and they'll bring it in and be like, "Hey, ream this pipe for me." And I'm like, I'm not going to ream that pipe. That pipe needs some age on it, needs a little more cake. So, reaming is always kind of a last measure thing.
It's a nuclear option.
In my book. But it's obviously there's times you have to do it. And, particularly for really old pipes that have just built tons and tons of cake, it is an option.
Well, I got to say, too, that before show, as we were kind of reviewing the show notes, a member of our studio audience here actually said, when I said, how do you keep it at 1.5 millimeters?
Yep.
He laughed. He said, laser. it's the ideal, but it's not necessarily, don't get too hung up on getting the exact measurement.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've talked about that a lot. I think pipe smokers get really caught in the minutiae of it all.
They can't,
you know,
sure.
and that's as a tobacconist and, you know, I think the spirit of our show and certainly of the Country Squire is that, you know, we don't want all the overwhelming minutiae to keep people from smoking a pipe.
Right.
And so, you know, if that's something you get caught up in, man, just, you know, figure out the easiest way to get some of that cake out of your bowl and just keep smoking it, you know. But, you know, if this is a very meaningful pipe to you, you want to take good care of it, be sure to swab it out after every smoke. You know, occasionally you might want to clean it with some type of solution or your favorite bourbon or whiskey, Everclear, if you don't want to leave any taste in it. You know, go to your local moonshine guy behind the Totsam store,
right,
and get your favorite grain alcohol, but you know, something like that I think will keep it good, and then, you know, if you have to start reaming it a little bit.
Well, excellent question, Parker. Thank you so much for sending that in. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, you can send it in csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire questions.
Bring it.
All right. So we mentioned, I think last week, if not the week before, Morton Sandevi sent in like a plethora.
Yeah. Like a whole mess of them.
JD, do you know what a plethora is?
Is it related to a gaggle?
No, it's a Three Amigos reference that I was trying to go for. Have you seen Three Amigos?
No. Dude, pop culture?
This is like, no, this is your kind of pop culture. This is pop culture from decades ago.
I don't, I'm,
okay.
I got nothing.
Some of you out there heard me make that plethora reference and you were laughing. Please validate me by letting me know. All right. So anyway, of this, he says, hard book or paperback?
I'm going to surprise you here and go paperback.
Really?
Yeah. I'm hard on my books. You know, some people like to collect these books and like to have a bunch of them and they want to take really good care of them. And mm-hmm. I've had friends that refuse to, you know, fold page corners and you know, all this kind of stuff, not write in your books. And like, man, if I read a book, you're gonna know I read.
You've left your mark.
Yeah, I mean, there's like bite marks and stuff on it. Yeah, I mean, it's bad. Coffee stains is bad.
Right.
And paperbacks are more versatile to me, so I can, you know, I just don't have to worry about them as much.
Bend it back.
Bend it over. It's just easier to read. You know, if you're, you know, laying down or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, I got to go with paperback.
Yeah,
and it's cheaper.
That's the big thing for me. It's interesting because I have a very specific answer if it's like a graphic novel, which is a collected comic book, by the way.
Yeah.
If it's a graphic novel, then definitely paperback. I never like the hardcover for the graphic novel just because, you know, the images get stuck in the middle and you can't see the full thing. But for books, gosh, digital?
Digital?
I mean, honestly.
Golly.
Look, I'm reading.
That's fair.
A couple of books that I pull from, but I really don't have a preference between hard and paperback. If I had a preference, it'd be digital. London or Paris?
London. I have to go with London. I'm an Anglophile.
Right.
I love all this, you know, British history stuff. It's, you know, a lot of our, you know, where America comes from and all that. I just eat that stuff up. So,
okay.
I got to go with London. I love Paris too.
Have you been to Paris?
I went one time, yeah,
okay.
And it was beautiful, very lovely city.
I've not been to either, but I hope to go to London next year, possibly.
You know, if your last name's York, you got to get to England at some point.
Yeah, I plan to visit like the university and everything, and that's my goal.
Yeah.
All right, this one I love. Winnie the Pooh or Piglet?
Hmm.
Now, I know you're not into pop culture, John David, but Winnie the Pooh is a children's book character.
I hate you so much. I'm going to have to go with Winnie the Pooh, and I think primarily because he loves honey.
Think. I'm just a little black rain cloud hovering over the honey tree. Everyone knows that a rain cloud.
Make it stop.
Hey, you got to remember, I'm like living this life right now where
you know, neck deep in all this kid stuff.
I'm going to go with Winnie the Pooh. I love Piglet because I'm in Piglet.
Yeah.
But my dad had a Winnie the Pooh toy that was passed down to me that I then passed down to my daughter. And so for that reason.
That's really nice.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Winnie the Pooh. Hipster or yuppie?
Hipster.
Uh-huh. All right. Me as well. James Bond or Jason Bourne? We've done this one before, I think.
I don't think so.
Have we not?
I'm going to go with Bond.
Depends on the Bond.
I'm going to go with Bond. Yeah, I mean, it depends on the Bond, right? But
yeah.
I don't know. Jason Bourne is awesome. I mean, we can say a lot of good things about Jason Bourne, but the classic level that Bond has, I think I would have to lean in that direction.
There's a timeless... I mean, like, honestly, if you put them up in a fight against each other, Jason Bourne has taken Bond down.
I don't think either of them smoke pipes, but don't you think Bond would probably be more likely to smoke a pipe?
Again, it depends on the Bond, but yes.
Right. Yeah, yes. I mean, it depends on the Bond.
Yeah. Overall, I think you're right. So, for that reason, I guess you got to give it to Bond, but like I said, if it was a fight, you know Jason Bourne would take him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there you go. All right. Excellent. Quick
Bond
fire
would
questions.
Get the girl, but Jason Bourne would definitely take him.
Yeah. 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 Jason.
I mean, right. Let's be honest about it.
Jason had the girl option several times, but didn't know what to do with it.
He's like, oh, I'm just going to put that back.
He's like, I don't remember anything. This is a great question. Of course, we've got several more. Hey, by the way, I think I might bump next week up some questions that we got this last past week.
Yeah.
Our good friend Brian Levine sent some in. And I'm
and
not
then
even...
we'll come back to Morton's after that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The ones that he sent in, I don't want to spoil it. It's so good. So anyway, you'll tune in next week for this.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right. Listener feedback. Sent in to us. Before we get into the traditional listener feedback, I got to tell you, man, we got a picture sent in to us over on Facebook from
this is really great.
Michael Ayers.
Yeah.
And it was a picture of a giant Country Squire trailer.
Yeah, it's a camper.
It's
right?
a camper.
It's like
yeah,
an RV.
Yeah, yeah.
Like an RV.
RV says Country Squire right there on the top of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously from maybe the early 70s? I don't know.
I mean,
and the logo that is written, I guess the brand was maybe Country Squire, or maybe they called this edition of this particular Dodge.
It has to be attached
Squire.
To that, because there was the Country Squire wagon, right?
Yeah, we saw the station wagon with the wood panels on the
right.
sides that was called Country Squire. This is a RV that's titled Country Squire. Maybe the owner
oh
just
my
named
gosh.
It that?
There's a CS on the door.
But,
I'm
oh,
just noticing that. Do you
yeah,
see
there
that?
It is. So you know what's funny, I think to me, the biggest thing is that this logo, the Country Squire script, is just eerily close to how we write the Country Squire in kind of our vintage way here
yeah.
at the shop. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
And I believe did he say that they found that in Claremore,
so
Oklahoma?
This is what he writes in. He says, I found the tour bus for
yeah.
taking the show on the road.
It's terrifying.
Might be as old as the shop itself. My friend's neighbor in Claremore, Oklahoma.
Yeah. And actually that's where my grandmother was born. If I'm correct, that is the home of Will Rogers, which is kind of
maybe
cool.
even born in that trailer.
Could have been if that trailer was 100 years old.
Yeah. Oh, man. I kind of feel like we need to like put together a Kickstarter and buy this from his friend's neighbor.
Dude, the mobile studio?
Do the mobile studio.
Mobile command unit.
Oh, dude.
That'd be pretty cool.
We got to take the show on
we
tour.
Take it on the road?
If we were to take it on the road, I feel like that's
you know,
the vehicle.
Aerosmith has like a giant bus with like, you know, luxury accommodations. Country Squire Radio has a, you know.
We could fit a little mini bar in that.
It's got a jalopy that, you know, you got to go kick the tires and like, you know, if you want to change your radio station, you're out of luck.
It's brilliant. We will be reposting this picture out on Twitter and Facebook. So if you've not seen it yet.
It's fantastic.
You definitely will. Also, speaking of Twitter, we got at the Subcon Paul over on Twitter says that he won a long smoke competition on Saturday with Golden Days of Yore. Oh, and he won an ounce of Golden Days.
Yeah, he won an ounce of it, yeah.
Perfect.
Let's see, and he leaves the time. His long smoke competition time was 54 minutes, 46 seconds. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
That's
very
like
good.
Over double mine, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's over double
no,
mine.
No, it is. That is. That's fine. That's
and then also
good,
Bradley.
Good job.
Bradley Hochter, the Love Doctor.
Hochter, the Love Doctor on Twitter, he says, MacGyver would take out Bond and Bourne at the same time, LOL.
MacGyver versus Bourne is actually a good debate worth having.
That's pretty
at some
fair.
Point. That's I don't know though. MacGyver versus Bond, sure, give it to MacGyver.
All right.
MacGyver versus Bourne, I don't know about that one.
Let me just say today at the Country Squire, if you order from our shop, like you're literally, I mean, you see, right? If you're watching live, you see, like there was a small pipe shop, and this is you know a mecca for pipes for a lot of people, but like you know we're a small pipe shop, and a lot of times it's just me here, and like when you order, like I'm the guy that gets your order,
right?
Okay, so today an order came in from Charles Norris, and there was part of me. Did
he roundhouse kick that order?
There was part of me that just wanted to say, you know what, you win. Like you get it all. Uh-huh. Here's the deed to the shop.
Well, there you go.
I don't know. It was impressive. If you're Charles Norris and you ordered today, give me a shout.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
But don't kill me.
So Chuck Norris has ordered from the Country Squire. You can now say that.
Put his name on the wall.
Yeah, dude. Needs to happen. On YouTube, we got a comment from last week's episode from Kane Rod Piper, who says, another great show. I second the request for a Falcon metal shanked pipe show. If you need to research Falcon history, I highly recommend a book, The Book from the Ashes, or Back from the Ashes, by K.A. Worth. It's a fascinating story. So, you know, as you recall, last week we talked a little bit about somebody wrote in and wanted kind of a show focused on metal pipes, which is a great suggestion.
Because we've done Meerschaum, obviously our friends at Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipes and Briar and other things.
Of course.
But not metal pipes.
Great, great suggestion. And yep. On iTunes.
iTunes, we've got one from Commissioner with a K, and it's he says, superb. This is a podcast that both experienced pipe smokers and newbies will enjoy. The hosts have a ton of knowledge about the subject. Man, thank you, brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very great.
We love getting this kind of feedback in from you guys. It's so wonderful to get it. Fuels us up in ways you can't even possibly imagine. And hey, if you have not done so already,
it really does.
Big time, man. If you haven't done so already, head over to iTunes and write us a review. It's a great thing to do. Also, be sure to subscribe to the show. If you're using an Android smartphone device, we encourage you to subscribe to the Satchel Podcast Player. We also want to encourage you to check out our YouTube channel, subscribe to it, and all that good stuff. And before I give out the contact information, there is something I'd like to run by all of you. So, Star Wars is coming. Give me some grace here.
All right. Okay.
Star Wars is coming. We talked about doing kind of a Star Wars, you know, some sort of like online meetup to kind of kick around some ideas for what a Star Wars blend might be. And we've done Squire Select, where we've paired tobacco with wine, tea, whiskey.
Are you really about to do this?
I am. What if we did an episode where we watched the movie, and so Star Wars, but it could be in, like, but we might even just like once a quarter just ask the community, like, what movie would you like us to review? And we watch it, you choose what would be a good smoke to kind of go along with the conversation. We pair the movie with the tobacco. We talk about the tobacco. We also talk about the movie, what we like, what we didn't like.
I hate it when Bo springs this stuff on me, like, while we're on live air, because, like, I kind of feel obligated now, right?
I'm curious to know what the feedback from the group.
Of course you are.
From the audience.
I think it's a great idea. Obviously, we're going to do that. I mean, I could see it being like the Mystery Science Theater thing where the little guys are up front.
Except
smoking
a pipe.
Like, except smoking a pipe. And, you know, we could be equally as obnoxious. I don't think that would require us to be any different than we normally
are. No, I think
it'd
just be us.
But my question, though, is what tobacco...
I just visualized the Mystery Science Theater with you, me, and Pappy Joe all smoking
pipes.
Man,
that is dangerous.
Could you imagine?
Man, if Pappy Joe's interested in that, that's a date. That's a date we could put together, man. Yeah, I could see that.
Somebody would have to set up the camera behind us and just, I don't know. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, we'd have to make sure it's censored for all the right reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Let's think about it. I don't know what tobacco I would have to pair with any scene involving Jar Jar Binks.
He's not in the new movies. The JJ does not stand for Jar Jar.
We're talking about the new movies.
We're
not going to talk about the old movies.
Not talking about the old movies.
Okay, I could go with that.
I mean, we may reference the old movies, but we don't. How Mystery Science Theater do you want to get?
It depends on how much whiskey you bring.
That's true. Well, anyway, so that's just a thought. I'd kind of be curious if you say, nope, don't want to hear you guys ever talk about movies unless there is like a pipe on it. Perfectly fine. We want to hear that feedback. Or if you're like, yeah, you know what? If you're smoking pipes, talk about whatever you want to talk about. Love to hear that feedback.
But what
as well.
Is the chance that you're not going to reference a movie if it doesn't have a pipe on it?
I mean,
minuscule.
That we're going to reference a movie that doesn't have a pipe on it? Or that we're going to miss a movie that actually had a pipe in it?
I mean,
the great thing is the community keeps us so honest, man. We get all kinds of, like, from television to movies. You know, it's
comic books.
Doesn't happen enough, because at one point in the early like year, we actually kind of thought about doing a pipes and pop culture segment, reoccurring segment, but it just doesn't happen often enough to do it, unfortunately.
We need to plant plant people in all these, you know, different industries.
Well, look,
industries.
We got
basically
actors out there.
Pipe Illuminati.
Yeah, dude.
We need that.
Pipe, let's pipe. Talk about it, but let's talk about that off air.
Pipe
Illuminati. All right, man. Well, hey, send us your thoughts, your feedback on all of this. You can, of course, email us, csr@podastereo.com. Hit us up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/CountrySquireRadio. You can follow us on Twitter, @SquireRadio. You can follow me, @TheRealBoYork.
I'm @JohnDavidCole. And you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire, as well as www.CountrySquireOnline.com.
Hey, a great place to go, too, if you heard these stocking stuffer tobaccos and you want to make sure that your stocking is stuffed up right,
oh, yeah.
Head over to CountrySquireOnline.com. Stocking is stuffed up right. No, I said it right.
No, you did it fine.
Okay,
it's just really odd.
Dyslexia. It's a fun thing. Of course, all of our contact information, all these links can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, this was a fun episode.
I had fun, man. Yeah, it was great. Wine tonight is provided by our studio audience here.
Oh,
which I
right.
thought was very nice.
Cheers. I haven't had some.
Well, I didn't say it was provided to you.
Oh.
But yeah, it's a great time. We're really getting into the Christmas spirit here, and I hope some of these tobacco descriptions and recommendations kind of helped you out if you're thinking about getting one of the Christmas blends. And as always, keep the love coming.
Absolutely. Man, let's go have a night.
See you, bro.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastereo.com.